Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. You may email your questions through the website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. You may also mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bumpville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing our study and potentially concluding our study today in the Old Testament prophetic book of Jeremiah. I'm wanting to give narrative about Jeremiah himself and his book, now that we've gone through all of Jeremiah chapter by chapter. I'm reminded that he was called to be a prophet in the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah. And we saw that, of course, in verse 2 of chapter 1. His early ministry, along with that of the prophet Zephaniah, were among the influences that led to the reforms under the young king. Josiah was a good king. He was a very young king. He was a boy king. And he did well. Jeremiah prophesied for more than 40 years. He began his ministry 60 years after the death of Isaiah. Jeremiah was a contemporary with the prophetesses Huldah and the prophets Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And perhaps he was also contemporary with Nahum. His message, as we've read throughout the book of Jeremiah, was never popular. He barely escaped for his life. Enemies beat him, put him in prison, put him down in the muck and the mire. And this is the way that God's witnesses have always been treated. And it has not changed. You can't, or at least I can't, outline this book chronologically, and I haven't found any scholar that can. Some of the first messages are found later in the book. Some of the last messages are first. He wrote on a great scroll, a roll of parchment or papyrus. No doubt he had given his messages many times. Maybe he had repeated them often before he began to write. His faithful secretary or scribe, Baruch, wrote them down. And after he'd written one of his discourses, some other messages given years before might come to his mind, and he would record it, possibly without giving a date. And he'd fill up the parchment as he unrolled it, and later on, when he wished to write down another incident or record another message, he would simply begin on the roll where he left off. And that was whether it fitted in a timeline or not. And so this is important to remember, and I've mentioned it several times as we studied through the chapters, that Jeremiah is not a chronological book. It is a theological book, not a chronological book. And since Jeremiah, the book, is not arranged chronologically, dividing the book up is pretty difficult. So if we take a look at the moral analysis, instead of a structural analysis, we come up with this. He had prophecies concerning Judah's captivity and restoration. He had prophecies concerning the cities of Jerusalem, Babylon, and Damascus. He had prophecies concerning the Gentile nations of Egypt, Philistia, Moab, Ammon, Edom, Elam, and Babylon. And he had prophecies concerning the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah used many symbols given him by Jehovah in teaching the people. On one occasion, he wore a rotted girdle. On another occasion, he put a yoke upon his neck like an oxen. And again, he broke a bottle in the presence of the ruler. He bought a field and buried the deed. And the interpretation of each of those things is given in the text itself. Let me give you a list of the object lessons, because he liked to use object lessons, and the chapters where you find them. The almond rod, chapter 1. The boiling cauldron, chapter 1. The marred girdle and the full bottle in chapter 13. The drought was in chapter 14. The potter's vessel was in chapter 18. The broken bottle was in chapter 19. Two baskets of figs, the one rotten and the one good, was in chapter 24. Bonds and bars in chapter 27. Buying a field, chapter 32. The hidden stones, chapter 43. And a book sunk in the Euphrates River was in chapter 51. Now, Christ is presented time and again in the book of Jeremiah. For example, Christ is pictured as the fountain of living waters in Jeremiah 2:13, the great physician in 8:22, the good shepherd in chapter 23:4 and 31:10, the righteous branch in Jeremiah 23:5, David the king, Jeremiah 39, the redeemer, Jeremiah 50, verse 34. And Jeremiah 23, verse 6, presents Christ as the Lord, our righteousness. Now, he was the ninth of the prophets. He prophesied to the southern kingdom of Judah before the exile and during the trying days of captivity as well. He saw five kings upon the throne of Judah: Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. He was to Josiah what Isaiah had been to Hezekiah. When you read in 2 Kings chapter 21, you can find out the history of Jeremiah's time and the problems that were going on. There were three major events, or great events, in Jeremiah's life. There was a battle of Megiddo between Judah and Pharaoh Necho of Egypt, in which good King Josiah was killed. The second event was the Battle of Carchemish, near the same spot almost 4 years later. That was during Jehoiakim's reign. Jehoiakim became a vassal of Egypt. In this battle, the Egyptians were defeated by Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and the first deportation of Jews began. Then the third incident or event was the capture of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, destruction of the city, destruction of the temple, and exile of the greater part of those who were left. They went to Babylon. There was a great contest for world supremacy in the day of Jeremiah, not much unlike it is today, except there were more wars going on in the Middle East, certainly in the region of Judah. Assyria had been in the place of leadership for 300 years, but Assyria was growing weak. Babylon was ascending in power. Egypt was striving for supremacy as well. In 607 BC, Assyria was defeated by Babylon. In 605 BC, Egypt was crushed in the Battle of Carchemish, and Babylon became the world's master. In the few years that followed, she invaded Jerusalem, took the Jews captive. False prophets swarmed the city of Jerusalem in those days. They flattered the king. They prophesied to him whatever they thought he wanted to hear. It was nothing but lies. And that's when, of course, Jeremiah was so poorly treated, because he told the truth. He told what God wanted him to say. This book is a unique tragedy. It's 51 chapters of tragedy. Although there is hope when you get into the 30s, chapters 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, that sort of thing. But it opens in the little village of Anatoth, and so Jeremiah was called. He said he couldn't speak, of course, because he was too young. He was 21. But he said he hadn't reached the years of maturity yet. A young man at that time had no say, really, until he turned about 30. But his prophetic message was important to God, because God could trust him. And he was inexperienced, he knew it, but that is no excuse. God overcame his hesitancy. He made him conscious of the divine call, and he made him see that the work he was going to do was not his own work, neither is it our own work that we're called to do. but it was the work of God. The path of duty is not the path of difficulty, but it's the path of safety. And so we hear a voice saying there in Jeremiah 1:9, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." And so he couldn't complain anymore. God had already taken care of the situation. And so he was told by God that he was set over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Jeremiah verse 10 of chapter 1. And so what God asked him to do, he fit him for, and that's true today. What God asks us to do, he will fit us for doing it. This guy was just a poor country preacher and a young one at that. But just as Jeremiah answered the call, did what he was supposed to do, so the church and the pastor who answers God's call today are in a place of power, just as Jeremiah was. They do not need any weapon other than the promise of God. And they control the building and the breaking, the planting and the plucking of the community. The church, with a pastor surrendered unto God and people surrendered unto God, cannot be stopped. Jeremiah's commission was worldwide, not only his own country, but the nations, all nations and kingdoms, including Egypt, Ammon, Moab, Tyre, Sidon. And so he was to pull down and tear up, but he was also to build and to plant. He was to go only to those persons or peoples to whom the Lord sent him, and he was only to say what the Lord commanded him. And that must be true of us also if we're going to be true workers together with God. And we do not shrink from God's call or God's work that he puts before us. In Jeremiah 1:9, the Lord put forth his hand. Compare that to the call of Isaiah in Isaiah 6:7, or Paul's statement that prophecy is a spiritual gift, 1 Corinthians 14:1. The touch of God's hand for Jeremiah was a tangible pledge that God was with him, and quite honestly, Jeremiah couldn't get away from that. The word of the Lord is a power that carries out God's will and accomplishes what he wishes. And against this power, nothing can stand. Jeremiah put it this way in chapter 23, verse 29, that God's word's a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces. God's word shows God's power in both destruction and construction. If men accept God's word, it will give life. If they reject it, it will bring condemnation. And we know that before Jerusalem fell, Jeremiah in chapters 2 through 12, spoke of the reign of Josiah, spoke of the reign of Jehoiakim in chapter 13, up through chapter 20, and then again in chapter 25, 26, and 27. And prophecies in the reign of Zedekiah was Jeremiah 21 through 24 and chapter 27 through chapter 39. And he talked and prophesied in the reign of Josiah and Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, etc. The Royal Investigating Committee, you'll remember, could not stand what was being said. And in Jeremiah chapter 36, we have them send for his secretary, Baruch, and commanded him to read the roll or the scroll again. Then they decided that the scroll had to be brought to the king, and so they read it in front of the king. But they advised Jeremiah and Baruch to go into hiding before the roll was read in the presence of the king. And so, the princes wanted the king to see it. So the message of God went to the committee, to the princes, and then to the king. And so the king ordered that everything be confiscated from Jeremiah and Baruch. They be destroyed, and yet the Lord hid those things. And then we had the portion there after the fall of Jerusalem in Jeremiah 40, chapter 40 through 52, and all of the catastrophe that went there. Jeremiah and the sister writings of Jeremiah in Lamentations portray Jesus Christ as the righteous branch. And that's important for us to remember, because this prophet, Jeremiah, was so poorly treated and so poorly received. Concerning God's future dealings with Judah, Jeremiah prophesied in chapters 23 and 31. Concerning the conquest of the land by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that was in Jeremiah chapter 20. Judah's exile, a captivity in Babylon, return after 70 years, was in Jeremiah 25 and 26. His prophecies or predictions concerning the Messiah are found in Jeremiah 23:6, Jeremiah 30:4 through 11, and Jeremiah 33:14 through 26. The prediction that Israel would be scattered among all the kingdoms of the earth is in Jeremiah 24, and the final recovery of Israel is in Jeremiah 23:1 through 40, Jeremiah 32 verses 37 through 41. And we also find that in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 21 and 22. Jeremiah got his messages to the people when there were gathering, when there was large gatherings. He spoke to them as they thronged to the feasts. He did the symbolic things that we mentioned already to get their attention. He had word pictures. And so it's important for us to realize sometimes it's not just words, but it's word pictures that we must give. We must sometimes use actions and activities to bring the attention of the lost, the attention of the wayward, to Christ. There are four phrases that are often used in talking of Judah's history as portrayed in Jeremiah, but also as portrayed in history. And we see these in Jeremiah in particular, the word chosen. Jeremiah prophesied to God's chosen people before their exile into Babylon. Captured, he warned them of their captivity if they would not listen to God. Carried away, they sinned until God allowed them to be carried away by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. And then he told them, God told them through Jeremiah, they must remain there 70 years. And then he told them of the coming Messiah. But God would not allow his children to remain scattered through the nations of the world forever. Someday the Jews were to be gathered to their own land, and the Good Shepherd would then soon appear. The last we heard of Jeremiah was when he was taken into Egypt. We don't know, as I mentioned in our last study, we don't know whether he was stoned to death in Egypt, as some would say, or if he lived a long, healthy life, or if he went to Babylon, or anything else after he went to Egypt. We do not know. Jeremiah's life was one of deepening gloom. He had to watch the people in the city that he loved fall from sin to sin, and all the time he had no hope that things might change, because he understood what God told him. And when we study the book of Lamentations, we will be finding that in the five Lamentations of Jeremiah. Hudson Taylor is quoted as writing this: God delights to trust a trustworthy child with a trial. That being the truth, how God must have trusted Jeremiah. And so, we find the prophecy of Jeremiah comes out at the time of turmoil in Judah, preceding and during the Babylonian captivity, like the song of a lark on a battlefield in some terrible war. It's like a beautiful symphony of sorrow, God's tears and consolation, as a great heart of love weeps over the people that God Himself is chastening. The message of the book deals with the certainty of God's judgment because of sin, yet the tenderness and eternity of His boundless love. And so we must remember, God chastens whom He loves and never forsakes them. Jeremiah was God's prophet, speaking God's words, everything from His call to His message is to be studied. Even as Christ appears in Jeremiah, we see Christ's virgin birth definitely mentioned in Jeremiah 31:22. Christ is wonderfully pictured in chapter 23, verses 5 through 6. The future kingdom of Christ is lavishly described in chapters 31 and 33. And these messages are for us to understand today.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.